Two passages from Scripture today, both come from the New Testament, from the Gospel according to Luke. And as many of us know, Luke has had a special place in our church life over the last several months, as Kylie and I have been privileged to lead people through a study of it on Wednesday nights. So first, reading from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. And this can be found on page 1036 of the Church Bibles, or if you brought your own copies of the Scriptures, I invite you to follow along. In Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman, but said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Our second passage comes to us also from the Gospel of Luke, from chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, found on page 1051 of the Church Bibles. Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you whole." These are God's readings for us this morning, and to him be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray before we begin. Lord, thank you for this time to come together, to worship, to be in community, and to hopefully learn more about you. Bless this time together. Amen. Today marks a lot of lasts. My last Sunday with you, our last Sunday looking at these windows. But I don't really like dwelling on lasts, so instead I'm going to share a first. This is the first time I have ever gotten to preach for my parents. So They've watched online, but they haven't actually been in the same room. So this is very exciting and also slightly nerve-wracking for me. But anyway, Josh has read two stories today. One about a sinful woman who falls at Jesus' feet, bathing them with her tears and drying them with her hair. The other story is about a healed leper who also falls at Jesus' feet, exclaiming his adoration and thankfulness, praising God for the miracle that occurred in his life. Two very different, but also very similar passages. And both are tied together by one key phrase. Did anybody notice it? Might have been said in different words. The words that Jesus speaks to both the leper and the woman. If you have your Bibles, you can look there now. Your faith has made you whole. That's what Josh said. Thank you, David. Josh said that one at the end of chapter 17. But he also said something a little bit different at the end of the passage in chapter 7. Does anybody remember? Or can anybody read it? Your faith has saved you. At the end of the passage with the leper, some translations say your faith has healed you. And all of these translations work really well. The Greek verb sozo means to save physically, to heal, and it also means to save salvifically, or in the scheme of God's plan for all of us. But the reason I like the translation, your faith has made you whole, is because I think it tells us something important about what Jesus does for us, the effect that Jesus has on our lives. Not only does he impact us and heal us and save us physically, but he does something to our souls, our inner beings, the place that finds its rest only in Christ. And he makes us whole. These are the stories that we get to look at today. It's no wonder that the glass artists behind me have decided to also capture this story. If we look at the bottom of the second panel from the right, there's going to be a ribbon that says those very words, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." It comes from the King James Version. And we look at these two stories that are represented. We'll start at the bottom. There's a man who's kneeling before Jesus with his hand up to his ear, holding a crutch, listening to the words of Jesus. This is a story of physical healing, of Jesus healing somebody who can't walk. And then we look a little bit farther up from the man kneeling, and there's a man holding his staff and intently listening. And you can't see that maybe he's physically hurt, but maybe you can think somewhere on the inside, maybe there's a little bit of him that's broken, that's searching, that's lonely, that needs something that only Jesus provides. And if we see behind his head, we see a couple buildings. They're white with red roofs. They're outside the city. They're outcasts. It doesn't seem like they feel like they have a place inside the city, so they've gone outside. And this is exactly where Jesus meets them, outside the city, somewhere where only the outcasts go. I think that says a lot about the character of Jesus. That he goes to the place where he is most needed, and he answers the greatest needs of all of us, whether that's physical or emotional or spiritual. Jesus meets us where we are. And then we look a little bit above that panel, and we see Jesus with a man who is kneeling. The man's not wearing very many clothes, and he's kneeling before Jesus. His hand is over his chest, his face is turned up, his eyes are closed, almost in this moment of bliss. Behold our leper from this morning. A little bit of background. Leprosy gives you skin that falls off. It has boils. It's painful. You don't look healthy in the least bit. You're certainly not allowed to be close to people. You have to stay about 50 feet away. And people never, ever touched you. Does this look like the same man that we read about? No. His skin is smooth. There is no trace of leprosy. He's being touched, made human almost. How important is it for us to be in community, to be known, to be touched, and to be held? Jesus recognizes that deep yearning inside of this man, not only to be known, but to be healed and made whole. This is what Jesus does for this man, and he does it happily and joyfully and gladly. But we ask the question, what happened between hearing about this leper and this picture where he's made whole, healed and cleansed and claimed by God? This morning, he was huddled amidst a group of 10 lepers, lost to his desperation and hopelessness. And then he hears of a lifeline. Jesus is walking by. And they'd heard of Jesus, perhaps heard how he had been healing people, and they thought, this is it. This is our last opportunity to finally be healed. And so they cry out in a loud voice, Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus stops, and he turns around, and he sees this bedraggled group, despicable and dirty and broken, and he speaks to them. Speaks to them like no one else has, probably for years, and he delivers a somewhat strange command. Go to the priest. Kind of a weird thing to say to lepers, something we don't probably understand. But you see, a priest had to deem a leper clean or healed for him or her to be able to go back into society, to be able to be near people, to be touched, to go into homes, to have a human living experience. And so Jesus tells the lepers to go to the priest. But they're not healed yet, are they? Their skin is still filled with boils. They still very much so have leprosy. So what Jesus is telling them is, trust me. You're not healed yet, but if you trust me, I will save you and I will make you whole. So on very little to go on, they get up and they walk. And somewhere along that path, they realize they've been healed. They have been saved. They have been made whole. Can you imagine what they must be thinking in this moment? After years, maybe decades, of being stuck with this illness, with no one to be around. Maybe they're thinking, I can see my family again. I can hug my kids, hold my wife, go into my home, be with my friends, go back to the land of the living. I'm no longer an outcast. And maybe some of them rush off to do exactly this. But amidst it all, there's one man. I imagine him lost in wonder and astonishment, looking at his skin and seeing, oh my word, it has not been like this for so long. What did this? And he remembers the man he spoke to, and immediately he snaps out of it, and he runs back to Jesus, to the man who made this miracle happen in his life. And it's just this one man that comes back. Why? Why does only one come back? The other nine had witnessed the exact same miracle, had the exact same thing happen to them. But only one came back to thank Jesus. You see, these nine were healed in their body, but it didn't lead to Jesus or faith or salvation. But this one man in his miracle experienced God. For this man, he was not just physically healed, but his internal brokenness was healed by God as God drew him to himself. God had revealed to him just how dependent he was on Christ for life, for healing, for the very breath he drew into his lungs. So this man wasn't just physically healed, wasn't just restored socially to be able to live in community, but ultimately drawn back into faith as his identity became intimately wrapped up with who Christ is. And we see this same story of wholeness made all the more poignant in the story about the sinful woman. She was completely rejected by society, ridiculed to her face, judged by people for the things she had done, and she knew exactly how far she'd fallen. And the only thing she knew to do was to fall at Jesus' feet. With what must have been crushing guilt and shame in front of the very group of people who judged her so severely as a rampant sinner, with tears streaming down her face, she falls in front of the one who can make her whole again. She's emotionally and spiritually broken, but she knows she's found the Savior. And Jesus speaks the life-giving words she yearns to hear. Your sins are forgiven. Be made free. No longer do you have to live under the yoke of guilt and shame, but you are released into the land of grace. What transformative word for a soul so broken. Jesus knew her for who she was, knew what she had done, and forgave her anyway. Gladly and joyfully forgave her. What joy she must have felt, for she was finally truly free. And then the words we've heard so often already. Your faith has made you whole. No longer was she an outsider, looking in on a life of love, but she was accepted into the family of God. And then Jesus says, "Go in peace, daughter of mine." Once Jesus had restored her to wholeness, he gave her a benediction into a life of peace. Go forth knowing you have been saved by grace, and knowing Jesus has made you whole. Grace does something special to us, doesn't it? It tells you who you are and whose you are. So these two children, the leper and the sinful woman, were made whole by God, redeemed from a life of pain and misery, and restored to wholeness. And both fall at Jesus' feet in response, in thankfulness, in adoration, recognizing that it is only at Jesus' feet that we find wholeness. Noel has been important to me in a whole variety of ways this year, but she's also been a sounding board. I can't look at you. She's also been a sounding board for sermons and an incredible help coming up with things to say, and she gave me this hymn that I'm going to read as a poem. It's titled, "For the Joys and for the Sorrows." For the joys and for the sorrows, the best and worst of times, for this moment, for tomorrow, for all that lies behind, fears that crowd around me, for the failure of my plans, for the dreams of all I hope to be, the truth of what I am. For this I have Jesus, for this I have Jesus, for this I have Jesus. For the tears that flow in secret in the broken times, for the moments of elation or the troubled mind, for all the disappointments or the sting of old regrets, all my prayers and longings that seem unanswered yet. For this I have Jesus, for this I have Jesus, for this I have Jesus. For the weakness of my body, the burdens of each day, for the nights of doubt and worry when sleep is far away, needing reassurance and the will to start again, a steely-eyed endurance, the strength to fight and win. For this I have Jesus, for this I have Jesus, for this exact reason we all have Jesus. Whatever circumstance of life we find ourselves in, joy or sorrow, pain or peace, Jesus yearns to make us whole, for he is all we need. So I ask you, where do you need to be made whole? Where are we all just a bit broken in need of Jesus' wholeness? Because let's be honest, we're all a bit broken. Are we yearning for physical healing? Are we desperate for emotional and mental wellness? Are we waiting for forgiveness? Or are we so spiritually bereft, we crave the meaning and identity that Jesus brings us? What part of ourselves is desperate for Jesus' wholeness? Because Jesus wants to make us whole. It's in his very name, his very identity. Yeshua, Jesus' Hebrew name, means God saves. God saves us from our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual brokenness and restores us to wholeness. His whole mission is to seek and save the lost and broken and needy. Yeshua, God saves, God makes us whole. So are we ready to fall at Jesus' feet like the leper, like the sinful woman, falling at Jesus' feet, seeking him, and finding that along the way, we've been made whole? Are we ready to be made whole? Amen. God makes us whole by rescuing us from our suffering and our brokenness. So it is only fitting that we respond in adoration with, "You rescued me."